Starship Rokan show with Anna DeBlancis. I just did a dumb thing out in the hallway.
You did? What did you do?
Oh, for God's sake. Hold on. Emergency! Emergency!
I was going to say, my code red already.
Is that a code red weather warning?
Let's see. Oh, it's a special marine warning.
There's a special marine coming by?
To Wilmette Harbor. So if you're in a boat listening to us anywhere in the northern suburbs in Lake Michigan, you should probably bring your boat back into the harbor.
What if you have a little dinghy? Should you bring that in?
That's very personal. I don't think anybody... I don't think that has anything to do with what you should do in the middle of a weather problem.
Why do you have to do that?
just as what it is.
That would be a code red.
I'm personally offended by that. Anyway, so I was out in the hallway... And
you were trying to get some coffee.
I was trying to get some coffee. I'm desperately in need of it. I haven't had any yet today. And I've been working all day. I've been working my tongue to the bone. Mm-hmm. And I'm out there at the, and I got a big plastic cup, which eventually will end up in a dolphin's snout. But right now,
why would
it's
you
here
have a plastic
me.
Cup for hot coffee? Oh, you're gonna do an iced coffee.
I'm gonna do an iced coffee.
Got it.
Yeah. So I filled it up with the crushed ice. And then I'm waiting
all set to go.
All set to go, waiting for the machine to work. The machine is not working. Oh. And then I spilled the ice. And it was like post Zamboni. Like, you know, when the guys come out and they shovel the ice, like in between commercial breaks.
And the ice girls come out. Like, you mean the little stuff on the top, the shavings that they scoop off the ice.
Right. And Elif, you know, Radio Elif, she walks by and she's like, Ro. And I'm like, and I can't clean up the ice. And Kevin walks down the hall, sees it, and then runs the other way. Right. I've never seen a turnaround like that before in my life. Kev!
I mean, that's one of those. I looked at it, and I just mumbled and kind of turned around and walked away. I'm not dealing with that.
This is not, this is not the team ethic that we're trying to build here. We leave no cast member behind.
I thought Elif was taking care of it,
No, Elif looked at me with this look of disgust and
like, why is he screwing up the coffee area?
He is a complete moron. It's exactly what I'd heard about him.
Even handle ice.
Right. That's what it was like.
Why is he going for the coffee machine? Doesn't he know it's not working?
I know it was bad. Anyway.
Well, so you didn't get coffee. You just have ice.
Shows off to a bad start. That's all I want to say.
Yeah. I know that.
Yeah, the coffee machine is broken too, and there's random barbecue sauce. The kitchen's a disaster right now.
I did see the barbecue sauce, but it looked like it was hours old.
Yeah, the ribs are in the fridge though, because the ribs are only an hour old. Oh, sorry, Lauren. Yeah, that's
our
dinner.
That was our secret.
That's our dinner.
So we can eat the ribs, is what you're saying?
No. They're gone.
Things just sit out until they get totally bad. And there was four boxes of ribs. And I'm like, you know what? Somebody's going to want these. Probably somebody on the overnight shift that's going to steal Dave Ennett's yogurt. So I might as well put it in the fridge.
I wanted to say one thing about a radio station.
Yeah.
If raw shrimp is served, or I guess you'd have to have boiled shrimp. Raw shrimp, too, though.
Mm-hmm.
If you, or ceviche, something like raw fish. They bring it to the morning show on a Friday morning. There will still be some mope eating it Sunday night in the kitchen of a radio station.
Everyone just convinces themselves that it was from the show before.
Yeah.
It is fresh, right?
And I do not know why it is that food in a radio station, no other office I've ever worked in, it has the same thing, where food in a radio station sits around, because it gets delivered all the time, sits around and people eat it until it's green and there's things growing out of it.
That's true.
I mean, it's what are we not paying people around here?
We eat it like there's not going to be more food tomorrow.
Right. Honest to God, this is like it's like a gulag around here.
I eat the Cochrane Show donuts when I come in. Those are hours old.
Right. They're like hockey pucks, right?
They kind of are.
they're hard.
The jelly ones are still soft though.
Yeah.
So you can eat those.
Oh, it's bad.
Every time I see a journalist see free food, it's kind of like watching Animal Planet with the hyenas and lions like going after each other while going after whatever dead animal they each hunted. It's brutal. Journalists and free food.
I don't know what it's all about. I guess we're just being, we just never know what we're going to eat next.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
There's also that crawling around too, where the TV and the radio, like the hyenas and the lions, they circle each other. Sort of like, that is my donut. Don't go near my donut!
like Jen and Lauren just did about the ribs. Like, don't tell anyone. See? We'll stab them if you touch the ribs.
Or it's like if you're out live on breaking news and you just got to like stuff it all in, like hibernate.
Right.
Like mm-hmm. you're going to go into hibernation because yeah. you don't know when the next time you're going to eat.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah, you end up being a very sloppy eater because you're constantly just right. shoving stuff in your face.
That is really true.
We or have the weirdest metabolism.
Commercial uh-huh. breaks, right? We do the same thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's bad.
Uh-huh.
Right. And you know what? Lourdes is taking notes right now. It's worrying me. Really worrying me.
TV's got the same situation. They've always got
totally.
Food in the kitchen.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, and this place.
Do people eat the food? Lourdes over at Channel 9, do they eat the food days after?
They eat the food. They eat the chairs. Whatever you put in front of them, it's gone within seconds.
Is that like every office or are we just special? Is it our business that encourages this?
I'm going to say it's every office. You go into any office place, you're going to see it. But just we are a little bit more. We attack as journalists rather than just, oh, there's a donut. And you grab it and you enjoy it. We are just like within seconds, it's gone.
Right.
That's
we waste
true.
No time.
You know
that's
who it is?
True.
The writers, too. I've noticed that the writers throw themselves at it, sometimes across. And that's you know that if something got delivered or got made on uh-huh. the morning show on Friday, that the writers for the 9 o'clock Sunday show mm-hmm. are still eating it.
Yeah.
Right? No. And it's been at room temperature for 47 hours.
And yet they never get sick. Have you? I mean, they've got a stomach made of steel.
Apparently.
Yeah. And then we don't clean up
it's
after
like the
ourselves.
Cockroach. You can't kill them.
Do you guys have that, too, where somebody brings in food, we leave it laying around a few days. Come Monday, it's been sitting there for 5 days. Nobody takes the time to
right.
clean it up.
Well,
sometimes someone will wander in and say, how long has this been here? I don't know. Okay. And then you just kind of eat it, right? You're like, I don't care. This is all right. Well, it's fine.
Listen, if there isn't a definitive date, then it's fine.
Yeah, no one's dated it.
Lourdes, can we, let's hope. Lourdes, could you stand by 1 second? We'll come
sure.
right back to you and talk about what's coming up on the WGN TV News.
Mm-hmm. Get Real in the Morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV Morning News team. It's all weekdays, 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WGN-TV.
Lourdes Duarte joins us again for the WGN-TV Newsroom.
We have some other votes for feeding frenzies in office break rooms.
Oh.
Our text line, we've got ER nurses, teachers, travel agents, and even a church office says that our office is really bad.
Oh.
Just jumping on
church them. Office, really?
You would think they'd, would not expect that.
No.
Huh. God wanted me to have it.
So we're in good company, guys. It's all
right. Yeah, we're with God.
Go with
we're
God.
Okay.
That's the name of my new chicken place. Go with God. I'm thinking it was probably everywhere, right?
I
have seen that at like nurses' stations.
You
know, that's by the way, in case you know you want to get grandpa better service, it's a good thing to do. Bring donuts and
that's right.
Sometimes I brought oranges. Things like that, because and then
oranges.
Went, yeah,
nobody,
I did.
What?
I brought like oranges because I'm like, well, it's an orange. You can take it, and you know, like everybody gets to keep one, and it's sugar, right? But it's also sort of half healthy.
I don't know.
Look at you! Look at you!
I wouldn't
look at you! Oh God, what a!
I wouldn't get excited about oranges.
Come on, man. Who gets excited about oranges?
People
with
scurvy?
Bring the bagel,
I don't know.
Pizza. You get lots of points for pizza.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, pizza, yeah. You're right. Oh, always
yeah.
good.
Yeah,
always good.
Nice.
Even in the
oh,
morning.
Nice. Yeah.
It's great.
Very good.
All right. Okay.
Let's try to get serious here,
yeah.
please.
Right, yeah, Lourdes, what's
stuff.
Going on?
Okay. Well, a couple of things. I don't know if you guys have talked about city council yet, but today was the first full day at city council, at a city council meeting for Mayor Lori Lightfoot.
We have Alderman Riley about to join us to talk about this.
Okay, so that'll be something that we'll discuss coming up at 4 o'clock. You know, what her relationship was like today at city council with Alderman Burke. I'll let him kind of discuss that. But she actually thanked him when he spoke up and praised her for her selection of the corporation council.
Does he think sucking up is going to help him now?
I don't know.
So I'm going for that. And he's sucking up to the wrong people
see
right
if this
now.
Works.
Lori is not going to put him in the clink. He should be sucking up to the U.S. attorney right now.
Yeah.
Go. Have you lost weight? Oh, look at you. Nice haircut.
Give him some advice. There you have it. Yeah. So that was one of the, I'd say, highlights of today. And then also on top of that, this whole exchange that she had with one of the FOP officials, where he basically said that she's got to, if she wants to get anything done, she has to work with FOP. And her response, her direct quote, anytime the FOP wants to do anything other than obstruct and object to reform, I'd be more than willing to meet with you.
Man.
So a little bit of a tone there. Yeah, a big ouch as that was going on today at City Council. So you'll hear some of those comments, some of that reaction coming up tonight at 4 o'clock or this afternoon at 4 o'clock. And
total
then
burn.
Also,
yeah.
We are following the U of I student killed trial over in Peoria with Brent Christensen. I know, just a horrible, horrible story. More details about what may have happened to her body, how she was killed. His defense attorney's basically saying, yes, he is responsible for her death, or he's implicated in some way in her death. So you'll hear more from our Tom Negevin, who was out at that trial in Peoria covering it.
And his ex-girlfriend wore a wire and is going to be the star witness against him. But it's on that wire he allegedly confessed to that and other crimes, 13 others, he says. But I don't know if that was some sort of sick bragging or if it was something else. I mean, my God.
And
horrifying story.
It's tough to hear all those details. But you, as you mentioned, audio recordings, and then they also appear to have some DNA evidence that they'll talk about during this trial.
All right. Thank you, Lourdes.
Guys, thank you so much. We'll talk to you
later. Thank you for bringing us down. That was great. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
It can't be all donuts. I mean, and oranges.
Why not? I mean, you know, a grisly murder trial or oranges. What would you rather be discussing right now?
Probably oranges.
Yeah.
I'd probably rather get...
I think an orange is a fine. I'm going to ask the alderman when he gets here. Although it might be a bribe if I tried to give him an orange. I don't know how that works. But, you know, if you like, you know, you drop off. I mean, grapefruits are hard because you never know. Do you section a grapefruit or do you then have to cut it in half? Somebody needs a spoon.
Share
I don't
it.
Know.
Yeah. You can't really just peel it and eat it.
Right, but an orange, you can do that. I think that's a fine thing to give.
Do you give a grapefruit to somebody that you actually like?
Yes. Well, you know what? It's a, in my culture,
that which culture is that?
That is a sign of great affection.
Yeah.
And it's like the pineapple to the Hawaiians.
To give a bitter fruit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Here's a bitter fruit for you that you can't peel and can't eat without any instruments.
I learned this because my grandparents used to bring bags and bags and bags of them back from Florida for no apparent reason.
In case they didn't have any in Chicago?
Right, that was the thing. And they were doing it like 2 years ago, which is weird. Because, you know, you would think that they would know that you can find a grapefruit here. They'd bring it back. Look what I brought for you, boy chick. And it would be like a gigantic bag of grapefruits. Like, what am I going to do with that?
I've never heard of that before.
That's really? No, that's a big thing. I'm telling you.
What?
It was I don't know. It was a thing. Your grandparents did it in the 1970s. They would load the overhead compartment of the airplane with great bags of grapefruits.
I've never heard of that. I would love to hear from listeners if they've heard of this. No one's
312-981-7200. We want to text us. We got the alderman coming up here, so he's very busy, but that's true.
I feel like fruit's a nice gesture. Someone gave me a bag of oranges. I'd be pretty excited about it.
Yeah, but what about grapefruits?
Isn't that weird?
Are you saying I need to lose weight? I need to start my metabolism?
No, they just gave you a grapefruit because they said, you know, it's the rarest of all the fruits.
Ah.
Does grapefruit kickstart your metabolism?
It does.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah.
I could use some grapefruit then.
Okay.
All right.
Listen, I'm just saying. People
put it next
know.
To the pizza in the break room. It'll kickstart. You can get a grapefruit.
That's a nice combination.
Pizza.
You know, the grapefruit, well, not only kickstart your metabolism, it might kickstart some other things, too. The grapefruit kind of gets you kind of moving a little bit. You know, all right, I got to go.
Right.
Excuse me. We got the news with Jen DeSalvo in 2 minutes. It's Wednesdays with Brendan on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis.
I thought
right
it was
here.
Tuesdays with Riley.
It's Wednesday, though. There's nothing we can do about it. So it's Wednesdays with Brendan, and he is the alderman. He's the official alderman of the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. We have official everythings, and it's an unpaid position, by the way. He needs to make that totally clear to the federal government. All right. A couple different things are happening here. Mayor Lightfoot, in her first month, right, on the gig, she met with Oprah. I thought that was very impressive, in Montecito. I don't understand why that, I don't get what's going on. I know she had to go out to L.A. to talk to the cops out there.
Well, she was in Palm Springs for Barbara Boxer, hosted a bunch of Democrats as well. And so she was in the neighborhood, so right. to speak.
And but she was in L.A. talking to her comms people say that she was communications people say that she was in L.A. talking to L.A. police officials about what they do. And their, you know, how why their numbers are so much better than Chicago's numbers. It's a little different situation out in L.A. There's you have L.A. city cops and L.A. county cops all patrolling the same streets. It's a little mm-hmm. different. But they so she was there. And then she shot up to Montecito and took a little snappity snap with the O. And then, you know, jetted off. I don't know. I'd rather keep her here right now. We got a lot of stuff going on. What? And you're the and now Alderman Riley. I mean, you're the president pro tem of the city council. Isn't that correct? So you're the guy that is in charge of all the things that are happening in the city council when she's not in charge of things happening in the city council.
Basically, when she's not on the podium, I'll be presiding over the city council meetings in her stead. But also, we'll be running the Legislative Reference Bureau, which drafts all the legislation for members of the city council. So I'll have a bunch of lawyers and drafters working for me, too. So, yeah, I'm a part of the new mayor's leadership team. I think she's off to a good start. We've had, you know, a bit of controversy during these first few days.
Something very weird happened yesterday, right? There was a settlement in a pretty tragic case that actually strikes home to this radio program. Mm-hmm. We happen to know the victim in this case, Kelsey Ibach, and it was leaving a bar. She was being driven in somebody else's car. The guy drives over. An embankment, flips the car, falls one story essentially down onto the riverbank. She's left paralyzed for the rest of her life. That guy, the driver, runs away yeah. from the case. And the city got sued. The bars got sued. Mm-hmm. The bars didn't give up that much money. The city got sued, though, based on not properly guardrailing or boundarying that area.
An allegedly faulty barricade. At a dead-ended street.
Okay.
It was controversial because the facts of the case are infuriating. I mean, clearly, the person driving this car was way overserved, mm-hmm. allegedly. And there were a couple of nightclubs named in the suit. And at the end of the day, we have a young woman who's paralyzed from the waist down for the rest of her life.
Yeah, tragic.
The driver... gets away and is not able to be charged with a DUI because it took the police 3 days to find this person. Mm-hmm. But he left everyone in that car for dead.
Right.
I understand that he faced some criminal consequences for that. But as a result of all of this, these bars that essentially weaponized that vehicle by over-serving the driver, they got off the hook awfully easy mm-hmm. compared to what the Chicago taxpayers are going to have to pay as a result of this tragedy. And had the bars been more responsible and stuck with their training, that person would either not have been allowed to drive, leave the venue, or they would have stopped serving the person a long time ago. And so, you know, we're seeing the taxpayers are going to be on the hook for $3.7 million. The committee voted to reject that settlement because they were so angry about the facts of the case. And we're angry that taxpayers were still going to have to pay this amount of money because it could have been so easily avoided. After that failed yesterday, people had the evening last night to chew on this and think it through. And I think people came to the conclusion that if this were to go to trial, we're exposed to the tune of about $26 million. And obviously, this young woman would be a very sympathetic victim. And what jury wouldn't want to award her a large sum? Given the fact she won't be able to walk again. And so I think when people figured that part out, we were able to pass the settlement approval today. But it was a really wacky 24 hours. That's never happened before in a finance committee meeting.
So this is the thing. I was reading the stories about this today, and my old colleague and the dean of the broadcast world of City Hall reporters, Bill Cameron, said that this was, you know, this was so unusual. It was a confusion, right? There seems to be a lack of leadership, right, in terms of maybe these committees. Are there too many new aldermen? What's going on there?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. Some people voted against that settlement because they're just so angry about how that all went down, right? There are
Isn't that already sort of baked in the cake, though? I mean, when you have these votes?
Yeah. It is baked in the cake. But then we also, you know, to your point, we have all brand new chairmen who are just getting used to that job. Mm-hmm. This particular committee has been run by one person for close to 50 years. And so...
And he's not running that committee currently, is that correct?
No, he's
Alderman
sure
Alderman Burke?
No, yeah. Alderman Burke is no longer running that committee. Alderman Wagasback is new. And so, you know, that was his very first committee hearing. So, obviously, he's working his way through it. There were some other folks in committee who I think voted no just to create some drama for the new chairman of the Finance Committee, honestly.
Mm.
And I think that
Do they also have slick back hair?
I'll let you make your guesses, but they're okay. Probably pretty accurate.
Yeah.
But I think part of this was at least some of my colleagues were perhaps trying to embarrass the new chairman a bit out of, you know, sour grapes.
Who do we
whatever.
Need this? Let's just do the bidding of the people here as well, opposed to everybody. I know.
It's a power.
God
grab.
Forbid. God frickin' forbid that anybody do the bidding of the people as opposed to this weird intramural sport of, you know, I'm with this power fiefdom, you're going to be with that power fiefdom, and that's how we're going to divvy up the city.
Because
that's over.
It's enough. A huge waste of time and energy,
yeah.
To your point. We're there to do a job. And at the end of the day, our job is to protect the taxpayers
right.
in these proceedings. And some folks turned it into sport and made it a game. And that's unfortunate. And again, I'm here to assist my colleague, Alderman Wagasback, in the Finance Committee. But he did a fine job this morning. We got it all sorted out.
Good.
And good.
Thank goodness we're on the right track.
How did Alderman Burke act during the second council meeting for our new mayor? Did he invoke any violations of Robert's Rules of Order today? Was he outspoken in any way?
No. Alderman Burke didn't raise any objections or concerns about any of the process today. And in fact, he did stand to praise the mayor's selection of her corporation counsel, the chief lawyer for the city.
Is he from Burke's law firm?
Kiss of death, isn't
no,
it?
No, he's not.
Okay. It's a fair question. It's a fair question. All right, go ahead. Yeah.
So he said some nice things for a minute there.
Okay.
But otherwise, we didn't hear much from him today.
All right. Yeah. I think, you know, at this point, you got to remember, he's working on a point system now. Right, and the feds come after you. They look at points. They look at departures, right? And they look at when you're being sentenced, they take all of your conduct into account.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, he should be on his best behavior because they can, you know, they could get a departure. What's the other one? There's departures, and then there's add-ons where they go, you know what? I didn't like the tie you wore on that Wednesday meeting. You're getting another 6 months. You know, so it's going to be something. I think we're being told now that we should expect some news out of that fairly soon here in the next month or so.
Yeah.
I'm told that we will probably get some, whether this is destined for trial or if it's destined to, you know, some sort of an agreement between the parties.
We'll interesting.
See. The mayor's also moving forward with tightening some of the controls on aldermen. I know she's she talked about what is the resurfacing program was part of it, the ethics violations. She's really trying to institute some changes.
She is. There are actually two similar issues. The inspector general sent out a report today that suggests taking arterial resurfacing out of the hands of aldermen. Mayor Lightfoot has not accepted that recommendation from the inspector general. Today, after city council, she had a press conference where she explained she thinks that in that regard, aldermen should have a say because they know their wards on a granular level. But her ethics package would do some pretty dramatic things, and I think good things. Limiting outside employment so that aldermen don't have inherent conflicts of interest or trying to profit from their public position. That sounds pretty good to me. She's talking about, over the next several months, developing a protocol for zoning. We talked about that the last time I was on with you guys. There will still be a lot of aldermanic authority related to zoning, but there are going to be some systemic changes, and I think we're going to see more input from aldermen outside of the ward where the project is at zoning committee, and a more public debate and vetting of this before these things are approved just because the local alderman says to. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see some incremental reform and change. And I think there's a lot of room for that. Understatement of the year.
Go ahead.
You okay, Ro?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Okay. I'm trying to be diplomatic, Ro.
Yeah, that's what you did. Yeah.
But there's a lot of room for that. And so it's a top priority. And frankly, in the mayor's race, just the last couple months, that's a mandate. People want City Hall cleaned up, and I think they picked a good leader to do it.
All right. Well, it's a tough job. Mm-hmm. It's a very tough job. And I know that we got trouble in the city in a lot of different places. Obviously, the crime one still, gets all the national headlines, as well it should. I mean, 11 people shot last night.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. In one night.
Unacceptable.
In this town.
Right.
Right? Kabul is more pacified than Chicago is. And it doesn't make any sense.
Summer months are my least favorite months. It's the best weather in Chicago. Yeah. Everyone wants to be outside and be here. I don't enjoy the summer because we're reacting every day to what happened the night before.
Right.
And I know that that's a priority for the mayor as well.
All right.
Sure is.
All right, Alderman. It was nice of you to stop by. I know you're very busy. I know I think you're throwing out the first pitch at the Hamilton show tonight, so we're going to let you go out and do that. Or the shot, or whatever. What do they do there?
You fire
the
first shot? Not throwing away my shot. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry. Yeah. Not throwing away my shot. You didn't bring us any grapefruits, did you, by any chance? Because Rose says back in the day,
let me ask you a question. Now, the alderman, it's very interesting. He's really
a worldly man.
He feels like a born and bred Chicagoan, but he grew up on the East Coast, right? Your childhood was on the East Coast.
Yes, sir.
Now, you had grandparents, didn't you?
Uh-huh.
Did your grandparents go down to Florida?
Yeah.
Sure. When they came back from Florida, did they bring bags of grapefruit with them?
No.
No one's
what?
They didn't love me that much, I guess.
Well, did you know of that? That was a thing?
I didn't even know that was a thing.
That's a thing. And they would get on the airplane. It was one of those, like a 727. They didn't have overheads. They just had a shelf over the seats. So if there was turbulence, you got hit in the head with the grapefruits. They were like bouncing off the shelf.
That's why they stopped doing it.
Yeah. But that was it. That was a thing.
Wow. Right.
Am I making this
up? No,
I
thought you were, but 815 says absolutely. You would see them on the luggage carousel when the airlines became stricter.
Wow.
And people fighting over the grapefruits that were going around on a luggage carousel.
I really missed out.
Yeah.
I never got them either.
Yeah,
I never knew that was a thing.
Yeah, that was what it was. All right. Thank you, Alderman.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Nice to meet you.
People are backing you up, Ro, on the whole grapefruit orange thing. Yep. Like people are saying, they remember this whole grapefruit orange thing from Florida.
Yeah.
Neighbors had them shipped.
Yeah.
Grapefruit and oranges.
Yeah, yeah.
And they even put some kumquats in between when they shipped them.
Yeah, sometimes you get like a crate would show up.
Yes.
Oh, Grandma just sent us grapefruits from Florida.
They used to sell bags of fruit at the Miami airport.
Yeah. Right.
My grandparents did this in the 50s.
Yes, and in the Miami airport, the plane pulled up into the parking lot, and you got on the plane, and then it flew to Chicago. And Dean Martin was the pilot. And the stewardess was pregnant.
Oh, gosh.
From the pilot. And the whole thing is, I don't know. It's what it was. It was a different time back then.
It really was.
Yeah.
Different time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When you could
pilot was having a martini up at the throttle and the stick.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on back then. Those were the good old days. Just Sinatra would get on there with a hat and sunglasses and an ascot.
Bring little kids into
where
the cabin.
Where are my grapefruits? That was the thing, right? Little kids would be in the cockpit,
with the pilot,
right?
In the cockpit, yeah.
Fly in the plane. Here, hold my martini and watch this.
You take the wheel.
I'm
fine.
It was a simpler time. We had grapefruits in bags because you couldn't get them shipped to Chicago because they were too heavy.
Didn't we have grapefruits here though at that time?
Not really.
What do you mean?
Not really. I just as a child, grew up in the 70s into the 80s. The grapefruit was not a very good. First of all, you wanted fresh fruit out of season? Forget about it.
Well, yeah.
Now, because of Mexico and Guatemala and all the places we're trying to go to war with, we can get a peach or a plum or something
year-round.
In the middle of winter. Here, you had to wait for summer, and then we had oranges. There were lots of oranges. I don't know what they were doing. I know there was like an orange black market thing that was going on between Florida and Illinois. That was okay. But the grapefruit was harder to get.
I'm
not going to lie to you. And a kiwi, forget about it. That was way too fancy.
Yeah, those were special.
The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is on fire right now. Jen DeSalvo's there. She's going to tell you what's going on right after.
some bad, bad, bad news I have to share with you right now.
Does it involve grapefruit or oranges from Florida?
Oh, God. You just won't let it go, will you?
just I learned something today.
Because I grew up in a world of privilege where my grandparents loved me and they went to Florida and then they would send back grapefruits to the family because we'd never seen anything quite like it before.
Well, you know, a lot of our astute listeners have pointed out that back then, fruit was very seasonal in the supermarket, so you really couldn't get them in the off season. And so, you know, when they were there, you'd send them back. Fresh
and you
oranges.
Don't grow grapefruit up here anyway.
No.
Right? The trucks just had to come up here with them, and then they, you know, that was the deal.
All right.
Yeah, that was it. Big deal. Okay. Couldn't even get a banana back in my day.
Back in my day.
You're looking to have a head of lettuce, and that was it.
It was weird because you did have like watermelon season, you had corn, you had, you know, it was seasonal.
Right, and everything else had to be in a can.
Yeah.
If you want an orange, you had to have a mandarin orange out of a can with a bunch of syrup in it.
Yeah.
That was no good.
That didn't taste
good. It was as good as it got. And then grandma sent me grapefruit. Although it was like that white grapefruit, you know, the yellow grapefruit, not the red. I like the red.
The red is the sweet one.
The
ruby
red,
right?
Ruby red, yeah.
It's good stuff.
The best.
Oh, I love those.
Have you had those little Texas ones? You can get them now, and they're in the grapefruit bags at like Mariano's. They're like Texas Star or whatever they are. They're like Texas grapefruits, and they're the size of softballs, like small softballs, like 12-inch softballs, as opposed to the big, like 16-inch grapefruit, and they're super delicious. Super amazing. But grandma's dead, so she can't send that to me anymore. So now I just go to Mariano's, and I buy them, and I think of grandma every time.
Aw, that's sweet.
Isn't that sweet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, that was not the bad news.
No,
why are you doing this?
Okay, what was the bad news?
I'm having one of the worst physical days
because you didn't get your
life.
Coffee that you were supposed to get.
Robbie Gold put his Chicago house on the market.
No!
Hey, Papa! So
said everybody in Chicago.
I suppose that is telling us that this is that there's no hope for this. There's no hope that Robbie Gould's going to get signed by the Bears.
But he's still holding out, isn't he, Cavi's not.
Yeah, he hasn't been at the offseason programs.
Yeah, hold out. Tell them in Denver that they don't need you. Where is he?
Denver? He's in San Francisco.
49ers.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Tell Denver anyways. Tell them all.
You might want to know. Just let them know because they're on the way. If you stop in Denver on your way to San Francisco, just
let
them know.
That's what you're thinking.
Yeah. Grandma did that too. All right. So what are we to make of this? And now Cody Blewett, or what's his name?
Chris
Blewett.
Well, he blew it. Everybody. He's not part of,
Every kicker is named Cody to me from now on. Chris Blewett is out, right?
Yeah, so Matt Nagy's using every technique he can come up with to figure out this kicking situation. And the one thing I like the Bears is that they're not running from the disaster that is their kicking situation. They're willing to address it, and they're doing whatever it takes. Matt Nagy will randomly stop practice and say, all right, kickers, you're up, and put them right out in front of the entire team and say, make a 43-yard kick. That was the length of Parkey's kick.
43-yard kick.
What's wrong? Is that...
That was Parkey's lane.
Oh, exactly.
Right.
Oh,
the
my
one
gosh.
Where he double doinked and the Bears were eliminated from the playoffs. Nagy will do that. He'll have the team be loud and kind of surround the kickers, but he'll do it in the middle of practice. Like, they'll be in drills and he'll blow the whistle and say, that's it. Let's put the kickers in front of everybody. Go make a kick right now. He also has this thing called the Augusta Silence. Matt Nagy went to Augusta this year and said, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to make it especially quiet, Augusta quiet. So he has people be very quiet while everybody stands around the kickers. So he's doing whatever he possibly can. And
to intimidate them?
Just to mess with them, do whatever it takes. And yesterday he stopped practice, had all three kickers go out there from 42 yards. I don't know why they did 42, a yard closer.
Just
to
giving them a little extra thing,
All three missed.
Uh-oh.
And then today, Chris Blewett, you're out of here.
Chris
Pack your bags, Blewett.
Oh, no.
That's right. So Blewett's out. They're down to two. They've got to figure this out. And look, there really aren't any holes on this team. Obviously, there's some questions here and there with the offense. Of course, Mitch Trubisky is entering year three, all those sorts of things. But for the most part, they have one of the most stacked rosters in the NFL right now.
Except for a kicker.
Who needs
a kicker? See, there's a lot
kind
of people.
Important.
Well, the kicker is very important. I'm sorry. This whole idea, when you talk to football players, especially defensive players, everybody hates the kicker. Because the kicker is...
he's normally the nerdy guy.
Doesn't speak English, or he's got some other issue, you know. You know, like they
stuff him in a locker.
Right, they question his citizenship. I mean, there's always something that goes on.
Adam Sandler wrote a whole song about the poor lonesome kicker.
Yes.
Haven't heard that, but
let's not even go down that road. The point is that we've got the kicker that you know, people are like, well, we don't need a kicker. We need to win games without kickers. No, you can't. A kicker accounts for, on average, 7 points a game. That's a touchdown.
It certainly mattered for us. But did you see Adam Ho, Bears Insider's comment? He said all three Bears kickers missed those consecutive field goal attempts that you were talking about, Kev. And then he was asked, Nagy, what went through your mind when that happened? He goes, whatever went through your mind went through my mind.
which is, holy crap, we've got to figure this out.
Like, whoa.
I'm sure that noise keeps him up in the middle of the night, just like it does for all Bears fans.
I mean, don't you think if they don't figure it out, we're pretty much just right back where we were last season? How are we not? I mean, aside
in terms of what do you mean? Just the kicker situation?
Just our team in general.
The ability
to progress.
They're
going to be even better, though, they're entering year two. Like, you know, especially for Mitch and the offense, that's, you know, they're entering year two in Nagy's system, which I think is huge. And they're already talking about how they're already so much better at this point than they were last year when they were learning a whole new concept.
Yeah, but Lauren's point is right. If they're missing 42-yard kicks, they're not. Yeah, how do they do in the playoffs?
Yeah, the field goal and the extra kick.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a huge issue. But what I'm saying is that the offense is probably going to be better. So in terms of like where they're at now compared to last year, I still think they're better. But yeah, the kicker situation is the same.
Let me quote our dear friend OB.
Okay, that would be helpful at this moment in time.
They should have been in third place!
Right. Well,
what did he say? I don't know.
Make strides. They won't be in that. They won't be in that situation. So, yeah.
All right.
The kickers.
Can't we? I mean, there's no way. What do we make from this Robbie Gould not signing?
Well, he says that he's going to build a new house in Chicago. Not to make too much out of this, that he wants to make Chicago his home. That it still is his part-time home, right? His
wants a bigger house after that deal with the 49ers?
Yeah,
right. Got a little more cheddar in his bank?
I guess so. He's going to build another, you know.
Yeah, he's a Chicagoan now. I mean, he's made it his home, and he's demanded a trade from the 49ers. They're like, we're not trading you. So
how about we trade Cody Blewett?
It's not Cody.
Whatever.
It's Chris. Blewett's the important part.
I don't learn their names. It's like Vietnam. I don't learn their names because they're going to be gone.
Jeez. Oh, God.
Don't name the farm animal situation.
Right. Yes, exactly. Right. That's a very important situation here. So the Blewett dude, we give him Blewett. And what was the guy from Michigan State that didn't work out? Kevin, what's his name? Or, you know.
Shanked it?
No, the wide receiver.
Oh, Kevin White?
Kevin White.
Yeah, he's with the Broncos now.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Let Denver know that, would you?
Take Gold and Kevin White.
Get Denver on the phone.
Get Denver. Right. they should know about that. That's another one. That's what I meant. You know, what else do we have to deal? Do we have anything?
I don't know if that's going to happen. I just unfolding.
So who are the two that are left? Who are these two mopes?
Well, it's Elliot Fry. He's the one who played in the... what was the American Alliance Football League that folded after 10 minutes? Mm-hmm. But he did make all his kicks, and he did make a 43-yarder in basically a complete blizzard. So that gets you a little bit excited,
I
guess.
Okay.
And then
good.
Eddie Pinheiro, who was drafted by the Raiders.
So I like the sound of that.
Eddie Pinheiro, yeah.
Yeah. See, that sounds like a sidewinder to me. I like a guy like that, maybe a little stout.
Yeah.
You know, I like my kickers a little fat.
Like a Janikowski?
Yeah. Like, or they look like they've been like a stuffed sausage in their uniform.
Looks like they should be in the bleachers with the fans, eating a sausage and drinking a beer.
Right, because they don't wear pads. They just wear
it's like the tiniest shoulder pads just to meet the requirements that the league has.
Right, it's really, they're like 1980s shoulder pads for, you know, women's dresses.
Oh, yeah, I remember those.
Yeah, like that's good, man. That clears it.
That's good. Yeah, but by the way, Sebastian, you've got an Audi. I can see it through your uniform.
Right. So Pinheiro was the guy who missed like all last season with a groin injury. So Raiders moved on from him. Yeah.
So how's his groin now?
It appears to be fine.
He's have to find out about. How do we find out about that?
It's fing lulu to do it.
Okay. No. That's too easy. All right. So Eddie Pinheiro. Now that sounds like that's the kind of guy I can get behind. And I don't even know why. It sounds like he should either be a jockey or a place kicker.
Okay.
Still worried about the kicker situation.
We are still worried. I think I'm a little worried, too. I didn't get much reassurance during this conversation.
No.
From the whole kicker
I'm
situation.
I'm concerned, but I love the grudge, like the way they're handling that grudge over Parkey. Here, randomly, 43, go.
Right.
Complete silence, go.
Prove it. Oh, God. Nightmares.
All right. Well, we're, you know, we have a major Bears announcement coming your way.
We do?
Yeah.
When do we get to announce the major announcement?
I don't know. Announcement? I'm just going to tell you that we have a major Bears announcement.
It's huge.
It is huge.
It's huge for...
I think you're going to want to...
Yeah. Everybody involved.
Yeah, I think, right. I don't think you're going to want to miss out on this huge Bears announcement that we're going to be making on this radio program. Do we know when we're making that announcement? They called me about it today and asked me, no?
They called me, too, and
they said,
there's
hey,
something exciting coming up.
This is what we're
listeners
doing.
Listeners and for everybody.
And I said, okay, well, let's get that. We're going to get some promos. We're going to get some things going on the air. We're going to tell everybody about it.
We'll talk about it.
And now we're an hour and 22 minutes into the show, and no one's telling me what to do.
Got nothing. Let me check my email. Nope.
Papa!
Nightmares.
Sure, we have a... Oh, God. Yeah, we have an actual show. I should mention this. A week from yesterday, we are going to be in Wrigleyville for game one of the Sox-Cubs-Cubs-Sox series. We'll call it Cubs-Sox because it's up there at Wrigley Field.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be the party of the century as we bring together in brotherly love Cubs fans and Sox fans at John Barleycorn on Clark Street, just a few blocks south
of
Wrigley Field.
Huge.
Brought to us by Arkadeck. How about that?
I
hope they build us a deck in the middle of the... that would be a perfect thing. I love the idea of that. All right, so that's coming your way. Don't anybody
Very
move.
Cool.
Yeah, that's
the whole thing. Catch Living Healthy Chicago this Saturday at 9 a.m. Learn about the struggles and successes of everyday Chicagoans with health and fitness. Living Healthy, Saturday at 9 a.m. on WGN-TV.
All right, coming up, Dylan Strome's going to join us. He's a centerman. He's with our beloved Blackhawks. He's going to make an announcement.
Ooh.
How about that? We got so many announcements on this program.
We do.
Involving all the sportings. We got to be very sporty around here.
Yep.
That's what we do. Because, quite honestly, I can't think of anything else right now. Tonight is that big, it's a game seven.
Yeah.
The Stanley Cup Finals. Winner take all.
Who are you rooting for?
I got to go with Boston. Even though it'll be the 13th, do you realize this? 13th championship of this century in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
It's
right.
Crazy.
It's really a lose-lose for basically everybody outside Blues and Bruins fans.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Lapka rule.
Mm-hmm.
The little-known Lapka rule.
What's
which
that?
Is that the St. Louis's have never won the Stanley Cup. And let's not give them bragging rights.
Yeah. No reason to brag about anything.
Right. The Bruins have won it a billion times. And this will be the 13th championship in the city of Boston this century. You know, considering between the Red Sox and the Patriots and them.
Yeah, they have too many wins there. But you're right, you got to go Bruins.
Have the Celtics won this century?
Yeah. And are you not rooting for Boston, considering the Tom Brady connection there?
Oh, I am. I'm on, yeah. Yeah.
Why don't you just go kiss Boston then?
What are you talking about?
You know, just go kiss Boston then if you like it so much. Yeah, why don't you marry Boston? You love it so much.
Why don't you go kiss a grapefruit? Since you love him so much.
Now you're reminding me of my dead grandmother. How dare you? All right, I got to go. Okay. Let's do this. Let's find out.
Enough of that.
I know what's happening in the WGN newsroom. Coming your way in 2 minutes. Rob Khan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Do you have any promo sheets that I can read here?
You mean about the upcoming big thing?
Yeah, any of the upcoming big things. We got big things coming up, and I don't have any of the promo sheets. What happened to the promo
sheets?
There
are big things.
Anybody want to help me with that?
You're so good at reading those promo sheets, too, Rob, when you get them after legal and everybody writes them all down in these complicated terms.
Right. Legalese. Because I know we're going to be in Wrigleyville next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have to make this up off the top of my head.
3 to 7.
Three to six thirty. We're going to be at John Barleycorn.
Huge.
On Clark Street.
That's going to be fun.
Great, great fun bar.
Nothing like that.
The original John Barleycorn was my jam. That was my thing. That's what I did. That's how a young, out-on-the-town Rokan lived, going to the original Barleycorn on Lincoln Avenue.
When you what did you call it? A man on the make?
When I was a man on the make, right.
Classic man on the make.
I wore a jaunty riding cap and a vest to the John Barleycorn, and I said I would like some hard cider, please, and I played darts.
I would love
Hello,
to see
ladies.
A young Rokan in the bar.
And knickers. And I would fake an Irish accent. just to be interesting.
Like you totally fit in.
How you doing? Young men, anybody interested in a game of darts? That's how I did it. That's
I love it.
Yeah.
Did it work?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Great conversation starter.
Yeah, it was the best.
Who's the guy over there in the knickers? It's so weird.
He's really into darts. I don't know. He keeps asking everyone to play darts.
All right, I'll just play by myself until somebody wants to play 301. Double in, double out. You know.
Oh,
and they're like, wait, what is he talking about? Oh, I love a hard cider. I love a woodpecker. I'd like another pint of woodpecker, please. It's the kind of thing that I would do. That's how I rolled. Would you like to go back and have some of my grandmother's grapefruit?
Oh, gosh. That's a pickup line.
She just sent it back to me. Well, of course, we're going to don't wake up my mother, though. Yeah.
Hey, whatever works.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're a good son, good grandson, shows you have values and family. Would you like to go to my mom's house?
You got
to
be real quiet because my mom's a light sleeper.
But she's got good oranges and grapefruits, though.
That's nice. You live with your mother? Do you help her out in her home?
No. But the rent is free. Oh man,
that was when I would go to.
I don't know how is this a promotion for the fact that we are going to be at the Cub Sox, the game one of the Red Line rectification or whatever we're calling it there.
Crosstown Classic. There you go.
Right, it's Wintrust Crosstown Classic, right? Isn't it? Wintrust bought that. We love our friends at Wintrust.
That's right.
Back in the promotions department, they spent 3 days arguing about the name of what we're going to call this show. Instead,
That's why we need the release.
We don't care what the name is. We just tell people that we're going to be at John Barleycorn and I'm going to wear knickers.
We should all deck out the Rokan back in the day outfits of John Barleycorn, the way you would dress back in the Rokan days when you used to frequent.
It's just lonely.
I'd like a blue cheeseburger, please, with the cottage fries.
Wouldn't you love to see the video?
In the corner, acting all mysterious, trying to play darts with everyone.
Just a picture with a pipe.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh my God, so did I.
Did you?
Some tweed.
A lot of tweed. I was wearing a lot of tweed back then. That's how we did it. So that's how that. That's
27 year old guy wearing
in the middle
tweed.
Of summer. You know, it was like 90 degrees outside.
It's a new look I'm going with.
Right, I'm going with tweed, but it smells a little gamey, doesn't it? I don't know why I'm speaking with an Irish accent. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. It's amazing that I got any kind of a date.
You had that professor vibe thing going on.
I was always going for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That works.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I think.
Could be a thing.
Not anymore. Probably now they just get fired for that.
Fired.
Yeah.
There's a whole social movement against the guy.
Yeah, right. But that was a thing.
Yeah.
That bar was quite a moment in Lincoln Park, though,
in its day.
And then now I don't know what they're turning it into they're constantly renovating that thing. I don't know what it's going to be.
Everything's reinventing in Wrigleyville. Right?
But now in Wrigleyville, they moved from Lincoln Park to Wrigleyville. Mm-hmm. And now in Wrigleyville, they're the big,
it's a big deal there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it. It doesn't get much better than that. So we're going to be there. Big stage. Lots of people hanging out with us.
Oh, yeah.
Whole team out there. Everybody going to be out there?
We're all going to be out there. You're going to be out there. Lauren's going to be out there. Anna's going to be out there. unless I wear the wool knickers, that's going to be a problem.
What would a woman wear to kind of dress in that sort of way?
Well, at that point in the late 1980s, mm-hmm. I was looking for women in peasant dresses.
Peasant dresses?
Yeah.
That was the look?
Yeah, that was kind of the look, yeah. Sort of the thing.
224, great. The creepy leprechaun at the bar.
The creepy 6'2 leprechaun.
Smelling of musty tweed.
I really like your peasant dress.
I buy you a cider. And do you want to play darts?
Would you like a woodpecker? I'm sorry, what? Or a bass ale.
How do you feel about
it? All right. Dylan Strom's joining us right now. Yeah, he's a centerman. Yeah, he's a Blackhawk. Yeah, we got important stuff coming up here, Dylan.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, can I just ask you how excited this team is about the upcoming season? I feel like there is going to be a revenge on the Central like there has never been before by the Blackhawks.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think we're definitely very excited. You know, obviously a lot of good things upcoming. You know, that third overall pick, I think we're all looking forward to that. And then next year, I think we'll see what happens with Game 7 tonight. But a lot of Central Division teams did real well this year in the playoffs. So I think we have a lot to prove. And I think after last year, I think we're really going to build into next year. And I think it should be exciting.
Do you have a team that you want to win more than the other here?
No, I don't think so.
I'll give you one. I'm going to give you one since you don't have one. I know you can't have one because all these guys know each other and everybody's got to kind of sort of get along until the
diplomatic
until the puck drops and then they're just trying to kill each other. But I think it is in the best interest of the Chicago Blackhawks organization that Boston wins and that we still can lord it over the Blues that they've not won a Stanley Cup.
I guess a lot of people have been saying that. I just got to this division, so I'm kind of new to the whole all the rivalries. But I've heard that St. Louis and Chicago have some pretty good ones. So, whatever happens, I think. You know, St. Louis has, I think they said zero or one player that's won a Stanley Cup. So, yeah, I think that'll be a pretty cool story if all those guys have to win the first one. But we'll see what happens.
All right.
Dylan, you guys were playing really well going into the offseason. I know that you guys kind of fell into a big hole earlier in the year. They trade for you, and you have a great finish to the season. What was the attitude of the team? I know there was the disappointment of getting so close to actually sneaking into a wild card, but you guys really did play well down the stretch. What was the overall attitude as you guys head into the offseason?
I think everyone was disappointed, obviously, like you said, about not making the playoffs, but I think a lot of positive looking forward to next year and beyond that. I think a lot of guys were, they thought they had a good season and they were really looking forward to next season. I think they were, hoping we could play some more hockey. We were obviously in a playoff spot there for, I think a day or two, but we stayed alive till about, two or three games left in the season, and it was fun to be a part of. So I'm looking forward to, hopefully securing a spot a little sooner and getting to play some playoff hockey next year. I think we have a lot of veteran guys that want to get back there and want to show that they still got it. So looking forward to that.
Sorry, go ahead, Ron.
Coming up next weekend, we want to mention this. That not this upcoming, but 7-8 days from now,
mm-hmm.
9 days from now, the June 22nd through the 23rd, there's going to be Hockey Fest. Game on! !!
I like this.
Yeah.
Street hockey tournament. That is going on. Did you play street hockey when you were a kid?
It's actually a funny story. So that Game On, the company that's doing it, actually started in Ontario. And so me and my friends my hockey friends, my little brother, we had heard about this road hockey tournament, and we were like, well, we play road hockey every weekend, so why don't we try to play on the same team for once, and then I'll be friends and play in this tournament. So we got pretty into that, and I played in that Game On, play on about probably 5 or 6 times. It's an awesome event. They set up the nets, the rink, and everything, and they run it really well. So I think it's really cool. I definitely played in a lot growing up, and I know it's going to be well run here, as it was well run all throughout Canada. So it should be definitely a good event.
Who beat up whom more? Was it you beating up on your brother, or your brother beating up on you?
It was my older brother was 4 years older than me and 6 years older than my little brother. So I guess if he wanted to, he would. He could beat up on both of us, and then we got taller than him, like maybe around 13 or 14 or around that age. So, but I think me and my little brother definitely had our spirited selves. He's bigger than me now, but I think I took it to him a bit when we were younger.
Love that.
Right now all I'm imagining is the Hanson brothers. That's all I got. Now between these three, that's all I've got. You know, the black glasses and the and tape everywhere. That's what it is. All right, so so people want to take part in that. HockeyFestGameOn.com is the website for that. And it's fun. So it's three players and a goalie, right? So it's four on four. And so if you want to take part in that. Now, what was your just when you were playing on your street corner, what was your puck of choice in street hockey or road hockey, as you guys call it in Canada? Is it a tennis ball? Was it a lacrosse ball?
That orange hockey ball, that's the one I used growing up.
Yeah, we generally use the tennis ball just because the goalies didn't wear full equipment like head to toe, so we only usually had pads and glove and blocker on and maybe a helmet if it was a good day. So, but the orange hockey balls, I think you need a goalie with pretty much full equipment because they do hurt. But I think the best you can get is with the orange hockey balls for sure. And I'm pretty sure that's what this tournament will be. I'm guessing.
Yeah, I like the lacrosse ball because you can kill someone with a lacrosse ball. It's basically it's basically a steel ball with just a little bit of rubber coating over it, just to to make it street legal.
Hey, Dylan, the draft's coming up. You were a third overall pick. Hawks with the third pick. What are your thoughts? Do you pay close attention to the draft once you're a player? I mean, what sort of feelings did you have going into the draft? What was this? Just three, 4 years ago, you were drafted third overall.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely still pay attention to it. I think we're all kind of excited. So I know the whole organization was excited to move up to number three. So if we're all excited. I remember my draft day pretty clearly. It was, crazy. I think the first two picks were pretty much set in stone with McDavid and Eichel. And then after that, it was kind of, no one really knew what was going to happen. So everyone was kind of just on edge. And luckily my name was called third. And it was definitely a great feeling for my family and who I had there and my two buddies and my grandparents over there. So it was a really special day and one that I'll never forget. And I'm sure one that this year's, all the players this year that we'll never forget. So it's cool.
All right. Dylan Strome, Chicago Blackhawks centerman. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. There he goes.
All right.
And don't forget, coming up on the 22nd and 23rd, so that is next weekend.
We should have a Rokon Show team. We should get out there and play.
I could snap an ankle. Yeah. I should. Now, I will wear tweed. Knickers.
Oh gosh!
While scribbling
does
notes,
that come out for that too.
So I think that comes out for street hockey. Yeah.
Then you get to be goalie.
It's tweed,
and we're gonna play with the orange hockey ball and no pads, just tweed and a vest. I'll get a vest.
It'll creep the other team out. It'll be an advantage for us. Who's the guy in net?
And sort of an ivory colored puffy shirt underneath the vest,
like a poet shirt.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, reading literature the whole game. What the hell's up with that guy, man?
And then I will turn. I hope you are as big a fan of Dylan Thomas as I am. And then you turn the hat around. You turn the jaunty riding cap around, mm-hmm. So it's like to the back.
Yeah. I can see it.
And maybe little round sunglasses, too, that go with that. I'm just trying to complete the look.
Right. You can recite lines from James Joyce.
Yes.
Throw people off.
And, of course, a scarf. For no good reason when it's 90 degrees outside.
Middle summer.
All right. I think I've painted quite a picture, haven't
I? Maybe we shouldn't.
Do you notice how quickly Dylan Strome had to get off the phone?
No, he was like, he heard some of that.
Like, I gotta go. I can't be a part of this. Ted DeSalvo is in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. And that is good news.
It is.
Coming up at Top 5 at 5 that you won't believe. Mike Monaco's going to be here.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. In the 5 o'clock hour as well. He's got thoughts on important things. Mm-hmm. There was, this is the 25th anniversary of O.J. Simpson.
I saw that this morning, and that is so hard to believe that that's 25 years ago. I mean, it does seem like a long time, but 25 years? I mean, you lived through that whole thing. Does it seem like 25 years to you?
No, it does not. It does not. It seems like it's
gone.
10 years. It seems like 25 years to him because he almost got 25 to life. But that's what it is. It is really. I'll tell the story about that night.
Yeah.
The night of the murder. Because it was strange how I ended up in the middle of this story. Because that's what I do. I find myself in the middle of all of these kinds of things. But but I ended up, I'll tell it, the night of the actual murder, and then ended up 6 months later covering the trial for ABC. So it was like a really, I always felt, because, you know, it came to Chicago that night. That's the thing. You've got to remember.
Yes, that's right.
After the murder, which, of course, he was never convicted of, he went back to his house, got his bags, went to the airport, took a flight to Chicago. He got called by the detectives in Los Angeles while he was at a hotel near O'Hare. He was coming in for a golf tournament here.
That was it.
And then they had him fly back. And then when he landed, they took him over to the house and all the cameras were there. And then he was standing under the tree and they handcuffed him.
Wait, so the Chicago visit was before the Bronco chase, right?
Yes.
Because he had to go back to the L.A. area.
Right.
Then the slow Bronco.
Well, he went back to the L.A. area and then they handcuffed him and then they didn't take him in. And they, you know, they let him sit there and they were kind of waiting for him to make a mistake. And then they called him and they said, hey, you know, they called his lawyer and said, you got to bring him in. Actually, Kardashian is who they called. Rob Kardashian's a fat one. and they had him bring him in. And that's when he and Al Cowlings got in the Bronco. And next thing you know, Al Michaels is calling on the phone. OJ, turn yourself in. Oh, it was just a crazy moment. What? Yeah. I never thought there would be another story like it. And look at what's happened now.
Can you, yeah. Could you even imagined?
No.
No.
No. I can't imagine what goes on now. All right. We've got all of that coming your way in the 5 o'clock hour. But first, Jen DeSalvo in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, 2 minutes away. Concho with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN. And I'm looking here. I have to peruse the top five of five to see it's up to standards.
Okay, let's see.
Comes in right as the music is playing at the 5 o'clock hour. We never really see it. Now we get to take a look here. Let's see, number one. Oh, yeah. That's something. Number two.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy. Number three. Mm-hmm. And then two. Well, it's okay. Oh. And then number one, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. All right. All right. So
all good? Meets the standards?
Yeah, meets the standards. Let's go.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. Checking in at
number five.
Today is the 25th anniversary of the murder of Nicole Simpson and Ron Goldman. O.J. Simpson was acquitted in 1995 for their murders. In a new podcast confronting O.J., Kim Goldman, Ron's sister, interviewed investigators, members of the jury, and star witnesses. Appeared on Good Morning America, Kim says by conducting interviews with some of the jurors, her feelings about what happened in deliberations were totally confirmed.
They corroborated what my dad and I always thought, which was that they didn't do their job. They pulled testimony just to cover up that they already knew what their answer was when they went into that jury room, and they wasted our time for 3.5 hours making up just fake deliberations so that they could look better.
The jurors you spoke to said that they had made up their mind.
Their mind was made up, and that the 3.5 hours was a cover up.
Oh.
She then talked about the one time she saw OJ after the verdict.
A couple years after the verdict, I saw him walking across the parking lot, or what I believed was him. I was by myself in my car, and I saw that gate, that natural gate that I'd been following for so many years. And I revved the engine, and I gripped the steering wheel thinking I could take him out right here and nobody would know. But
that's not you.
No, and I would never do that to my dad, but that's not me, you're right. It was just a fleeting moment, but it happened for sure.
I can only imagine, though. You think about the pain of the families, you know? It's sort of... The whole celebrity of the moment sort of took center stage.
Right. And it was the last great pre-social media gasp of that level of reality or tragedy celebrity, right? That and so many people came out of it. It wasn't just the just the lawyers, right? To, whether it was the Kardashians, which eventually were the that was a name that certainly allowed those young women to come to prominence, Kim and then all of her, or the mom, was about Chris
Kardashian
and all of that. And obviously Bruce Jenner in that moment as well. But the but also the people who are covering the trial, right? Star Jones and the Dan Abrams.
Then you have like the Marsha Clarks and those people. Yep. All those people went on to write books. And her sister Denise, who, became a prominent spokesperson for victims' rights and domestic abuse.
Yeah, it was interesting. Her family, it was really, they got forced into this and they weren't really prepared for the amount of celebrity and the amount of exposure. And they weren't sure what to do. Denise probably was the most composed of all of them, but then the other sisters were, a bit of... It got swept up in it a little bit, I thought, at least. That was my experience with them. And there's also we'll talk with Mike Monaco about this coming up. There was a total change in the way that cameras were seen in the courtroom as a result of this.
Yeah.
And it made it, it's also the beginning of reality TV. It spawned a reality TV moment, which is, wait, we can put this stuff on real life things on television, and we don't have to pay for writers.
Right.
Basically, just hire producers. And it was, and I will never forget the, I did most of the coverage of that from here, but I'll never forget being in LA for the encampment of that. It was like a movie studio outside the LA District Courthouse in downtown Los Angeles.
I can only imagine.
They closed off streets, and it was TV trucks and trailers where all the different reporters and anchors would get made up in the day, and it was like watching them make a Western in the 1950s. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Judge Ito and Jay Leno with the dancing Ito judges. I mean, the whole thing was just so, when you look back on it now, unseemly. That the People versus O.J. Simpson was very good, but it didn't. I'd like a mini series that looks at just the ridiculousness of how the media industry embarrassed itself during.
Well, and the exploitation of what was happening there. These were two people's murders,
right?
And there were dancing Itos on television.
Right.
What?
I mean, she was basically the cat. I don't know if you've ever seen the aftermath of the pictures. Of the crime scene. But the unedited pictures of the crime scene, I mean, she was
slaughtered,
80% decapitated. It's
horrific.
I don't want to even describe it further than that, but you can let your mind. And he was just returning her glasses. She had left her glasses at the restaurant, and he was running them back over to the house. And it's just it. It's crazy. All right.
Very sad.
Checking in at
number four.
After a meeting at the White House today, the president and Poland's president, Andrzej Duda, held a joint news conference at the Rose Garden. Now, have you ever noticed when they do these joint press conferences with other world leaders, the world leaders never get any questions?
They just sort of sit there and look at their translate. What did he say? What?
Trump was asked about the contents of the letter that Kim Jong-un sent to him.
Could you give us an update on more of what it was in that letter?
He just wrote me a very nice letter, unexpected, and someday you'll see what was in that letter. Someday you'll be reading about it, maybe in 100 years from now, maybe in 2 weeks, who knows. But it was a very nice letter. It was a very warm, very nice letter. I appreciated it.
I like how he teases that. I always like a TV producer. Maybe one day I know what it is, you don't know what it is, I'm special, you're not.
He knows how to sell.
And did you see that the letter that he was holding up yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
There's a tight shot of the letter, and you could see through it because of the sunlight. And it's like Johnny Fabitz is like the signature on it. It's like something totally unrelated. I have a beautiful letter here. It's like a typewritten letter.
It's like junk mail.
Yeah, like it was like a fan letter or something. I don't know. They somebody's actually read it now because you can read it through the deal. Hold on. Here it is right here. Beautiful letter. Then there was a pretty strange moment here with NBC's Kristen Welker.
Let's see. Who do I like?
Oh.
Nobody. That's the end. Go ahead. Yeah.
Mr. President, thank you very much.
I wasn't pointing to you, but you can go ahead. Here we go.
Pointing to...
I was actually pointing to my friend with that beautiful hat on, but that's okay.
Mr. President, you seem to suggest yesterday that you are essentially committing to not spying on North Korea. Is that what you meant? Were those comments interpreted?
No, it's not what I meant. It's what I said, and that's. I think it's different than maybe your interpretation. They'd like to do something. I did get, you know, very, as I said yesterday, a very nice letter from Chairman Kim, and I think we're doing very well.
It's not what I meant. It's what I said. I would like to be. I would like to be able to say that from this point forward. Like when you're in a fight with somebody, it's not what I meant. It's just what I said.
You just happened to say that.
Right.
I didn't mean it.
I want to say that to my bankers, too. I said I was going to pay it off. I didn't mean it.
That's like the better version of, I heard you, I just wasn't listening.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I have a beautiful letter here written by Donald Trump Jr. that I'm saying is Kim Jong-un. I mean, come on. I've been thinking, the more I think about this, the hotter I get about it. Because he doesn't have to go out in public and humiliate the office of the president by sucking up to a tin horn dictator. This is what he's doing. That's what he's doing. He happens to be a tin horn with a nuke, but he's a tin horn. And he does not have to do it this way. I don't understand why he's doing it this way. He could, is this really diplomacy? And then telling the CIA, by the way, Kim Jong-un, if any of our guys are spying on you, not under my watch. What? What?
No, but that's not what I meant.
It's what I said. All right. If that doesn't give you some pause, I don't know. If it gives you pause, then you're paying attention. If it doesn't give you pause, then you just like the idea that everybody else hates him, and you just want to be on the side. It's an emotional decision. There's nothing logical. There's nothing logically good about what has happened here, at least as it pertains to North Korea in the last day, because North Korea is throwing missiles around again. I don't see you. I don't see the missiles. And they're short range. That's Japan's problem, not ours. Call me when they can take out Seattle. Actually, they should take out Seattle. Because that's where Jeff Bezos, the Ming the Merciless, lives. Do I have a golf course there?
I don't think so.
All right. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, let's check in with Jen DeSalvo. What's coming up in the newsroom at the bottom of the hour? Top 5-5 continues right here on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. We're up to
number 3.
All right. It was the U.S. women's national soccer team getting off to a pretty big start, the 2019 World Cup. It took on Thailand, beat them 13-0. A lot of people are saying they're running up the score, and that's wrong. But the players are saying, hey, we got to run up the score. That's how you get ranked in this stuff. Don't blame us just because we won, just because we're good.
What are you supposed to do, give up? It's the world championship.
Midfielder Rose Lavelle, who scored 2 goals, was asked about Alex Morgan's 5-goal performance.
Yeah, I mean, she's in a dangerous form right now, and I'm happy she's on our side. It was exciting. Alex obviously slipped me a really nice ball, and then Sam served one up on a silver platter for me. So 2 awesome assists, and I was really happy. We know that this was really exciting, but now we have to refocus, and it's on to the next.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's so much heat over this because you saw a lot of players take to Twitter and say, stop celebrating. You're crushing them. The Thai team is crying. Why? I mean, I just, it's the world championship. They were excited. They scored. They celebrated. I don't know. I didn't watch the whole game. So, I mean, maybe they were.
Did you watch any of the game?
I've just read about the, you know, the controversy.
I
was watching it here, keeping it. It was funny. Every time I looked at the TV, I'm like, is this a replay? Or what is this? Because they kept scoring. Well, they scored 10 goals in the second half. I love it, Barry.
The most goals for a single game in World Cup history.
Plus, point differential matters. It could be a potential tie-breaking situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the World Cup.
It's not an exhibition game, right?
It's not like Little League Baseball here. It's the World Cup.
Right. I'm not sure what it's all about.
Fake outrage from people. Seen it a thousand times.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, listen. Thailand would Thailand would definitely beat us in that ping pong game that they play. But that's about the only thing.
Korea, that's really good at ping pong.
No, it's not that ping pong.
Not the ping pong.
No,
like
not that ping pong. No, they do a different ping pong thing in Thailand.
The back of a bar.
Mm-hmm. All right, checking in at
number two.
Toys are back. Toy Story 65 is coming out. Oh, it's four. World premiere last night. Red carpet. Tim Allen talks about Keanu Reeves, brand new to the franchise.
I hate to say it because his character is as funny as Ken Doll. Michael Keaton was the funniest thing I'd ever seen, that whole scene with Barbie. Keanu jumps that up a notch. He's the most genuine, sweetest guy, and he's really funny. Oh, great.
And finally,
number one.
How's James Corden feel about Jared Kushner's real estate company receiving millions of dollars in foreign investments since the Trump presidency began?
According to a new troubling report, a real estate company owned by Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, has received $90 million in foreign investments since Trump entered the White House. Although Kushner says there's nothing to worry about, you've got to give him at least $100 million to arrange an illegal meeting with the president. On the bright side, this is the first instance of someone in the Trump family getting money from a person other than their dad.
Oh, gosh.
The top five at five.
I'm going to show you something. This is a knit cap. I'm going to put this knit cap on. And you've been seeing me for a year. If I put this knit cap on, who am I? I'm still Johnny Cochran with a knit cap. And if you look at O.J. Simpson over there, and he has a rather large head, O.J. Simpson in a knit cap from two blocks away is still O.J. Simpson. It's no disguise. It's no disguise. It makes no sense. It doesn't fit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
That pretty much was the whole case right there. Yeah. Goodbye. It was over.
The jury was already made up its mind at that point.
25th anniversary of the O.J. Simpson, the murder of his estranged wife,
yeah.
Ex-wife, I guess, at the time, right? I think they were estranged, mm-hmm. I suppose. And I should remember this, and I don't. And Ron Goldman.
Right. He what bad luck he had.
Seriously.
Right, because he was just a waiter.
Yeah.
At Metzaluna, the restaurant in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
And actually, in Brentwood, I think it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And they, unfortunately, he was the one tasked with returning
glasses.
Her glasses that she had left at the restaurant. And he got to the door, and the next thing you know, he's cut in half.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And she, it clearly was a rage crime. The police, you know, when they saw the state of the
it was not a robbery.
No, it was not, and it was not an accident, and it was not, you know,
no
things that, so they knew. And that, I think that was the theory of the defense, which was you just got to make him not the guy, which is almost impossible not to do since all of these different items seem to
well, the worst luck was that they had the policeman who was the most important policeman in the case.
Oh, gosh.
Turned out to be a racist and had use the N-word over and over again, talking to a person who's helping him write a book.
And Mark Furman.
Mark Furman. They went right at him, and they destroyed him as a witness.
Right. Right. Well, I don't know if the one thing I know about Mark Furman is that Mark Furman was taking it basically on the chin. You got to remember the context of all of this.
I'm not saying he was a racist. I'm saying they proved he was a racist because of all of his use of the N-word, right. And he denied it all over and over again.
He denied that he ever used it, and then they pulled out the book that he had written with it in it a billion times. You got to remember the context of what happened here. This was right after. This is a couple years after the Rodney King riots in Los Angeles. Right. And you cannot forget that that's really where this whole thing stemmed from. Because there was such... Los Angeles was a tinderbox of racial dynamics that were very, very, very bad. The Los Angeles Police Department, whether it was the LAPD or the LA County Sheriff's, LA County Sheriff's had a little bit of better reputation, but the LAPD had a pretty bad reputation for being very interested in street justice, and the Rodney King video was an indication of that. And when the O.J. Simpson trial happened, this was an opportunity for that jury to nullify what is a very clear, to my eye, really, really, really clear conviction. Right. I mean, it's
Simpson's blood was at the crime scene. Don't forget that. And Nicole Brown Simpson's blood was on Simpson's sock. You had Goldman's blood in Simpson's car.
Right.
Just those three facts. Think about that.
Now, but what they did with Jenny Cochran and all the other attorneys who were working on that, and there were a lot of them.
They went after the forensic.
Alan Dershowitz and Barry
Scheck.
They said that, well, you know, maybe the criminalists were the ones who were planting the blood. You could see how the LA police would plant the blood. Remember what happened to Rodney King. Yeah. And they kept invoking the specter of the Rodney King video of
How many people died during the Rodney King riot? I mean, there were scores of people died.
I don't think scores. I think there was, I'm not even sure anybody died during that riot. But
Anna's going to tell us.
I'm going to look here.
Seconds.
But Rodney King, but you know, he had some, there were some terrible violence, certainly.
63 people died.
63 people
riots,
died.
Including
That's
nine who were killed
Scores
by law enforcement
died.
And one who was killed.
I will never question you again, Michael Monaco.
I'm assuming not.
2,300 people injured.
Yeah, that was horrible. That was horrible.
Gosh, that was worse than that.
Reginald Denny, remember? He was the guy pulled out of his truck. Yeah. Lest we forget, now we can look at it back 25 years and 28 years in the rearview mirror and say that the O.J. Simpson trial didn't stand alone.
No, that's true.
It stood in the context of what was going on in Southern California at that point, and as it related to police versus the black community.
Yeah.
And so even though O.J. Simpson was on the top 10 African-American standout, cultural icons.
He was beloved.
He was the whitest guy that ever lived.
But he was beloved in the black community, for sure.
He became, I think, beloved as a result of this. I don't think that he... I think the whole thing was, you know, he was living in Brentwood and he was so fancy and had Hertz dealerships and, you know, he never really did much for the black community. And then look at it, even O.J., you know, they're going to take him down. I think that was the context of all of this was that. And so this jury decided that... And I think the jury, when they were seated, and they sat there for 9 months listening to this.
Yeah.
Right?
I remember after the case was over, I saw a... There was an event at, I think, McCormick Place, and it was for African Americans. And I saw three black women in part of the advertisement for that event, and I didn't recognize them. I read that it said they were three OJ jurors who went around the country talking about the case.
Sort of taking a victory lap for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and obviously OJ went on, you know, years later to kind of
There was a payback.
Prove his worthlessness.
There was a payback to OJ for that.
Yeah,
33 years for that, but he only served 9 for the memorabilia raid.
Stealing his own stuff, really. sort of weird.
They got him on, though, remember Michael Monaco, they got him on kidnapping because he said, don't anybody move, which apparently now is kidnapping. I don't know. It was a Hummer case. There's no question about it. You know, there were a couple things, you know, throughout this thing. I know I covered the trial for ABC and for Court TV, and it was a circus. The thing was a circus. The night that it happened, I just happened to be in Los Angeles.
The night
of the murders.
Oh yeah,
I was leaving Los Angeles, and I was on the I was scheduled to be on the flight that he was going to be on coming back to Chicago. And it was being flown out there corporately by this other company for this project. And then I got to the airport early, and I was able to get on the earlier flight.
Well, you could have been the alibi.
Oh, my God.
You could have been the alibi
witness. And I think about that all the time. Oh, wow. That I could have been sitting there next to OJ.
Yeah, you could have been the alibi. You could have had the blood still on him.
Yeah, exactly. Talking to, hey, it's OJ Simpson.
Yeah.
But then
he could have confessed to you over a drink, maybe at the hotel bar.
So a friend of mine bought that house.
Oh, in Brentwood?
Rockingham?
Yeah, in Brentwood, where the murders occurred.
Beautiful.
Oh, where the murders occurred.
Where the murders
occurred. Was he conflicted about that? About being in that
house? He was
a
bit conflicted. They changed the front of it because at the time, as you might imagine, there were a lot of tourists were going by it. So he had to change the outside of it to make it look a little different. But he bought that house. I thought, wow, I don't think I'd buy that house.
I know the Rockingham estate I think it's gone through a number of different hands.
Not only that, so then OJ fled. He fled when they said they're going to arrest him. And remember the scene?
Okay, so let's go back to this.
Going down the highway in the white Bronco?
Even before that, let's go back to this. So he lands in Chicago overnight.
Yeah.
He gets to the hotel. I think that flight landed at like 4 o'clock in the morning. He gets to his hotel near O'Hare.
Mm-hmm.
The L.A. detectives call him, and they say, hey, your wife's dead. And he's like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. Not like, are you sure, which is what most people say.
Yeah.
Wait, no, really? Yeah. It wasn't that reaction. Yeah. It was, oh, no, oh, golly, ah, really? Aw, darn it. Listen, I got a golf game.
Yeah.
And they said, you got to come back. And he goes, oh, okay. So he gets on a plane, goes back. And when he gets there, they realize he's got a gash on his hand. He's got a cut on his hand.
Oh, gosh.
And they're like, and that's like the first thing. Remember, it was Lang and Van Atter were the two lead detectives.
Yeah.
And they were the lead detectives. The thing about Furman was not a lead detective.
But he was on the scene.
Furman assigned himself to the case.
He's like,
that was the problem.
He found the glove.
And he found the glove, which, you know, ostensibly.
Chris Darden brought forward to say, try it on.
Oh, please. That was another mistake.
Okay, don't get ahead of ourselves.
One mistake.
So let's just remember, for the kids who just want to remember OJ is a great football hero, just remember this. So OJ gets back.
Yeah.
He's at his home, right? And I think it was also in Brentwood, right? At the Rockingham Estate. And he's standing there and he's got this cut on his hand. They go, how'd you do that? Oh, I got so upset I cut it on a glass at the Ramada Inn or whatever the hotel was near the airport. So they call
Ramada Inn.
They call the Ramada Inn and they go, check the room OJ was in. Is there any broken glass in there? No.
Yeah.
So that's when they decided they were going to take him into custody. Yeah. But then his lawyer, remember, it's Robert Kardashian was the first one to arrive to be his lawyer. Yeah. And then Robert Kardashian got the other Robert Shapiro, who is now LegalZoom.
Yeah,
and again, only because OJ killed his wife is there LegalZoom.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's, you got to remember.
Yeah.
This is like crazy things that came from this.
Yeah.
So they bring Shapiro in on day two of this.
Right.
Because they didn't take him into custody. They handcuffed him on his property and held him there after they saw the cut on his hand. But then everybody's calling around, and this is a big case. It's a heater case, as they say, right? Because it's a celebrity. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. We don't, fully understand the dynamics of this. So they let him stay at home. And then the next day, they call Shapiro and they said, hey, we're taking him in. They call Kardashian and Shapiro and say, we're going to take the guy in. And then Shapiro goes over to goes over to the house, and OJ has got his buddy Al Cowling,
gets in the white Bronco.
This is on a Friday night.
Yeah.
And like every innocent person,
gets a lot of money, puts it in the car, off.
Now, you got to remember this. The Sunday night was the murder.
Yeah.
Murders.
And this is Friday?
And this is Friday night.
Yeah.
So he had been sitting around his house while the cops were trying to put all this together.
Yeah.
Right. And, and going out and trying to be I think they'd done the funerals at this point. Right. I think it was pretty quick with that. And then here he is. He is at home and he gets in the white Bronco and he starts driving and they were going to go to Tijuana. Never in the Trump
administration.
Again,
like every innocent person.
Right. He had a 38 in the back. He had a gun. Oh, yeah. He had a handgun and a cell phone, the brick cell phone. And they were, and I'll never forget, Al Michaels. This was the greatest, the most bizarre television event ever, because there were just helicopters.
Yeah, watching the car.
Watching the car move.
Slowly go down the highway.
Right, because it was surrounded by police.
Yeah.
Right, in front and behind. It wasn't going anywhere.
No. And you're just wondering, how are they going to apprehend him?
So law enforcement was saying, well, let's block the road. Block the road. But they didn't do that.
No, because they were afraid he was going to get out and start shooting. That was the thing. He did have a gun.
Yeah, well, they didn't know he had a gun at the time.
Yeah, they did, actually.
They knew he had a gun?
Yeah, because Al Cowling said he had a gun. Because he had the gun to his head at one point. He was going to take his own life. So the car starts moving.
Another innocent event.
Down the freeway, down the five.
Attempting suicide.
Right. And he was crying. And Al Michaels, yes, the voice of Sunday Night Football,
yeah, mm-hmm,
gets on ABC, and whom he worked at that time, with Peter Jennings, who's calling the action.
The play-by-play.
Right. And starts appealing to OJ. OJ, my friend, please pull over.
Yeah.
Pull,
like OJ's listening to him?
Right. That's the
point.
How
is that possible?
That's the point.
The technology back then, you couldn't do that.
No, there wasn't
radio.
TV. There was, now, it could have been on KABC. I don't know if they were putting
probably
that on. They might have just been
Give Al a little credit.
Yeah.
For heaven's sake.
Maybe they were doing it through the radio station there. But, and he's sitting there, begging OJ to get out. And it's, you're my friend and don't let anything. It's going to be fine. If you didn't do anything, you're going to be fine.
That was something.
Are we sure you didn't do anything? And then it stops. They take him into custody. And then the next thing you know, it is, and remember, that is June of 1994.
Right.
The verdict was in September the first week of October in 1995.
Yeah.
And every single day, that story was the lead story for those 16 months, 17 months. Yeah. Every single day.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of news in that story. A lot of news in the trial.
Yes.
A lot of things that weren't newsworthy, but they made it into the trial.
You mean like Star Jones' diet? We'll talk about that on the other side. But hold on. Here we go. Jen DeSalvo's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Coming your way in about 3 minutes. Don't anybody move. All right, Mike Monaco, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Mike.
We're just telling stories about what it's like to be O.J. Simpson. Or Mike Monaco.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that was right around the time I started being on your show.
Yes. So 25 years ago.
How
about that?
Of unpaid advice.
Unpaid status, right.
You'd think that I'd get some kind, maybe a meal or something.
Yeah,
out
does
of
he
this
pay for anything?
No.
Like, take you out every once in a while?
Well, he does. I suppose I should have to say eventually.
This is rich now. This is rich. Where Anna's going, does he ever pay for anything?
You pay for the crew all the time when we go out. But I was just sort of trying to rub in the whole narrative.
It's a joke.
That Mike Monaco is the chief legal analyst of the Roe Contra with Anna DeBlantis.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Unpaid position. Thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, we got the news coming your way in 2 minutes.
And now, the Rokon Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokon!
You know, when we say we've got a celebrity in the studio with us.
We sure do.
This is an all-star. Mm-hmm. An all-star right here. That is right. Dr. Willie Wilson is going to play News or Ruse. And if there's a man who can smell out a lie, it is Dr. Willie Wilson.
Just from his time in politics alone, I think he'd be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. All right. No question about it.
I remember you were very good on the debate stages of calling out the lies that you heard. You weren't able to just sort of gloss past them. You were like, nope.
That's right.
Not true.
That's right. Oh, he is. This is a special man right here. And now, I just right before we get started, if you want to play News or Roost, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, maybe you'll get lucky and you'll get Dr. Willie Wilson as your partner. That will be something you'll tell your grandchildren about. Let's talk a little bit about what your post-political life is now. You're out taking positions on stuff, right?
Well, we're taking position, but I also have a PAC now.
Oh, I saw that yesterday. Yeah, you announced that, right?
Yeah, I announced it. So we're going to form a PAC. It is formed. And I asked everybody to go to www.progressivepac.com.
Progressivepac.com?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All I'm doing is asking for like $10 a month commitment from every citizen of Chicago.
Okay.
Every citizen. Okay. Every single one. Every man, woman, and child.
All right. Yeah. Hold on a second.
That's
hold
all
on.
He wants.
$10 a month. Okay. So I'm willing to buy 10 shares of that right now. Oh, come on now. What's your big issue?
Well, the issue is that certain communities in Chicago, a lot of the ordinary citizens do not put money up to support their candidate. So usually when they get in office, other people like the union or corporation spend money, and those politicians have to do what they say and do. So we have to get up to the 21st century and do the same thing. So I decided let's form it and let the people make the decision. Get about 5,000 people per ward or more, and then let 51% of whoever vote, whoever they select, that's who we'll support. But they have to support the issue of the funding community.
That's very interesting. It's www.progressivepac.com, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Now, Willie, you did come out against the governor's graduated income tax, and you were very outspoken. You're not supporting this stuff that's going on in Springfield right now. What's your problem with it?
My problem is taxes. It ran people out of the city of Chicago. They're going to run people out of the state. And look, how can you say you're going to raise taxes and you give everybody a raise? Now, look, the governor got all kind of money. If he didn't want to raise $6-7 billion, why don't he just write a check himself and do it that way? You're going to run more jobs, more corporations out of the city of Chicago. There go your job. People already leaving out of the city. If you're going to try to take care of budget, how can you take care of the budget when you're running your corporation out, you're running the citizen out, they're going to move right over in Maryville, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Start a company there, and you lose those tax dollars.
Right.
Why can't you manage yourself out? The question is, everybody got to ask themselves, look, and the people who we put in office got to say, look, we didn't put you in there to raise tax and run us out of the state.
www.progressivepac.com. Willie Wilson. He's my man. All right. Here's what we're playing for. $75 certificate to Green Tea Home Services for all your home service needs, including garage door maintenance, air duct purification system, carpet cleaning service. Call 800-5-GREEN-TEA or greenteaservices.com. And everybody gets a $25 Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
Nice.
Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. All right, let's meet our contestants, shall we?
Yeah.
Lori is playing with Jen. Jim is playing with Kevin. And Dave is playing with Willie. Lori, you there?
Yes.
All right, we're starting with you. Here's your headline. Health commissioner warns business group about rising levels of methamphetamine showing up in Florida shrimp.
Oh, gosh. Lori, what do you think about this one? I don't think it's real.
News.
Do you think it's news? I don't know.
Okay, let's say ruse.
Oh, that was very good. That's very good. That was
Sniffing
a ruse.
Out.
Yeah, very well done.
Yeah.
Right.
So we've got Jim and Kevin playing together. A man with cocaine in nostrils tells deputies it's not his. It's not his.
Oh, boy. Well, I watch plenty of live TV, so I'm going to say that that's news.
Sounds like news to me.
In Florida. In Florida.
Get out.
In Florida. All right, here we go. Dave and Willie, here's your headline. Dave, you there?
Yep.
All right. Lovesick fish have pessimistic outlook on life, study shows.
That's a good one.
That's got to be news.
Doctor?
I say news. Also.
All right, you can say news. All right, yeah. Good guess on your part. And that's nothing but a guess, let me tell you. I know the answer to that. All right, here we go. Lori and Jen.
Back to Lori and Jen. Roanoke man catches intruder trying to microwave butter in his kitchen. Well, we heard of the one person breaking in to clean the house, so I would buy this. But this is all up to Lori. What do you think? Do you think it's real?
News.
Yes. It happened. Wow. People keep really doing weird crazy things in strangers' houses.
Here we go. Jim and Kevin, wayward exercise ball leads to four vehicle pileup.
Oh, that's got news written all over it.
I'm going to agree with Kevin. It's news.
Everyone's getting these right.
This is really something. Dave and Willie, here you go.
This is crazy. Dave, Willie.
All right.
Kraft introduces salad frosting to help trick your kids into eating more vegetables. Frosting.
I've done work with Kraft, and Willie, I'm going to say that's the news, too.
I'll go along with that. You know,
there you go. That's right. There you go.
Well played, wow. Gentlemen.
David. Wow.
Well played. No one's got one wrong.
6-6, my friends.
That
all
never
right, everybody.
Happens.
Hold on 1 second. We'll come right back. We'll find out from Jen what's going on in the newsroom at the bottom of the hour, and then finish up with Newsroom Ruse with our very special guest star, Dr. Willie Wilson.
Get Real in the Morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV Morning News team. It's all weekdays, 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WGN-TV.
Dr. Willie Wilson is here, and we are playing News-a-Roos. And let me just tell you something. You're not going to want to miss this thrilling finish, because everyone's gotten everything right so far.
Incredible.
I know. Here's the Orion Samuelson round, and Lori and Jen, here is your headline.
Guacamole-loving gator crashes couple's date by Florida lake.
I believe that could happen.
I didn't understand the last three words.
Guacamole-loving gator crashes couple's date by Florida lake.
So they're...
Oh, date? Okay.
Date, yeah.
Okay. Let's go for news.
Sounds good.
There I am.
Yay!
It did that. Can you believe it? It ate a block of cheese, then some salami, half a watermelon, and a pound of grapes. That sounds like a fantastic meal. And then got the guacamole.
Jim and Kevin, here's your headline.
Tiny island nation of Nauru seeks international help in developing floating replacement island.
This seems very detailed, Jim, which makes me want to believe it's news.
Yeah, it does seem detailed, but I've never heard of such a thing. Which makes me want to say ruse. I don't know.
All right, Jim, let's go ruse here.
Kevin. Kevin, that was very important what you just did right there.
Great work, Jim.
Going with
Jim, excellent work.
Dave and Willie, here is your headline.
Mm-hmm. New study shows that Slipknot will make you drive like a maniac.
I don't know, Doc. That's a tough one for me. My stomach's all knotted up trying to figure this one out. I'm kind of thinking ruse. What do you think?
I'm kind of thinking the same way. Yeah, let's go that way.
That actually happened. That happened. There's a study that they wanted to look into this. All right, doctor. Hold on 1 second. Hold on. Let's see what I got. Here we go. Right. The bonus round. This is for the playoff. Lori and Jen, here's your headline.
Let's do this, Lori.
Burglar arrested after Miami Beach homeowner holds iPhone like gun until police arrive.
Lori, I don't think this is true.
I agree with you. I say it's a ruse.
Man. Willie thought that was funny.
Willie is enjoying the losing. That's the thing. There you go.
He's a winning man. He likes to win.
That's right. All right. Okay. So let's see here.
What do we got?
Jim and Kevin, here's your headline.
Here's the headline. The great brief debate resolved. Men who wear tidy whities make great fathers, but leave something to be desired in the bedroom.
I mean, I feel like whitey tighties are just, that's the ultimate dad look right there. All the great dads have worn them. In my, it's your call, Jim, but I'm leaning news. Your call.
All right, I'm going to go with Kevin on this one.
Bad idea. Bad idea. When you're not feeling
Everybody
it, don't go with
pizza.
Kevin.
All right, quickly, here we go. Back to Lori and Jen. Okay. New Zealand prisons spend $1 million on slushy machines to cool tensions.
I don't know. No, I don't. But New Zealand's kind of a haven, I hear, so I don't know.
Lori?
I don't know either. Ask Willie.
He's not on your team.
Wait, now hold on a second. She's phoning a friend right now.
You can't
now,
do
Willie.
That. No. You don't get any lifelines.
We need an answer.
I don't think so. No, but that's Lori's.
I'd say ruse.
All right, that would be wrong.
It actually happened.
All right.
For the win, Jim.
Here you go. Here's your headline.
Florida teacher denies dosing students with Benadryl. District attorney begs to differ.
Jim?
Oh, boy. I'm thinking news.
I'm going news as well.
You know what? Wait, no, hold on. No, it was not. It was not correct. You know what?
Didn't get it.
That was the. Here's the problem. We've run out of questions, but not prizes. So, so you two are going to get the $75 Green Tea Home Services certificate for all your home needs, including garage door maintenance, air duct purification system, or carpet cleaning. Call 800-5-GREEN-TEA or go to greenteaservices.com, and everybody gets a $25 Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
Everybody wins.
LouMalnati's.com. There you go. Congratulations to everybody.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. There you go. All right. Dr. Willie Wilson, if you want to take part in his pack where he's going to run the world, I think Willie Wilson is a superhero. Mm-hmm. I think he's a Marvel superhero.
Thank you.
Yeah. I just got to get
a lot figured out.
It's www.progressivepack.com. So you can go www.progressivepack.com, but it's just Willie Wilson's progressivepack.com. That's what you got to look for if you want to Google that. Hey, and then what did you say about church on Sunday? What are you doing?
Well, I want both of you guys to come in at 9 o'clock and sing with me.
Oh dear!
You don't want that.
No! You don't want that.
We would listen to you sing.
But look, I'm gonna have a whole orchestra there.
So we can hide behind that, is that what you're saying?
I'll be next to the tuba.
Right. I see what he just suggested there. Yeah. Oh, no, they'll be there.
We don't want to hear you.
All you got to do is just mouth the words.
But wait, I'm the guest speaker also.
Oh, you're going to be speaking.
What church are you doing this at?
Right,
New Covenant Missionary Baptist Church.
Yes.
Cottage Grove.
I like he looks at me like, of course you know what church I'm going to be at.
Just told us.
Yeah.
That's where it's at. I mean, look, I'm the guest speaker. We'll be singing some songs, and it's Father's Day, you know?
Yes, I know. Mm-hmm. I know. I have a Father's Day event that morning, as a matter of fact. So.
Well, cancel that and come
I
on.
Can't, well, I see. Well, now what kind of a father would I be if I did something like
well,
that?
Well, bring him there, and then you go back to the other church.
The other church. They're not allowing me in most of the churches right now. I got to tell you, they've got a sign at the door. This man wanted. All right, Dr. Willie Wilson, it is always a great pleasure having you with us. You are our man.
Appreciate you.
You're our man on the scene, trying to make something right happen in this town where things aren't always happening right.
I'll tell you.
All right, let's check in with Jen DeSalvo. She's got news in 2 minutes. Original music from the Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis right here.
What's this?
How about that? The great Brian Altimer.
Ooh. Digging it.
Do you have the Bee Gees one? No, we're not allowed to play that yet.
You don't have the rights to that one?
There's a really cool version.
Yeah.
of well, I'm not in love, right? Isn't that the You Should Be Dancing? That's what I meant.
Dancing.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That is pretty wild that our sonic genius has put together.
He's incredible.
I know he said that to me earlier in the week. I'm like, we got to get you an agent. We're running out of the problem here is that everybody on the show is more talented than I am now, and I no longer have a relevance to this.
Well, you could be the agent. You got the booby thing.
Booby, darling, sweetheart. Listen, people. I'm over it. I have old skills, old school skills. You have all the newfangled skills with the internets and the thing with the deal and the Insta chat and the pictures on the telephone. You even know how to get the pictures on the telephone. So when you get the pictures on the telephone, you can then tell that to the people. Booby, darling, sweetheart, you're going to be big.
You're speaking our language now. Totally get it.
I have the promotional announcement now.
Oh.
Are you ready?
You've been waiting for this all afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the promotion?
We just took it right off the website.
Because we said we had huge news. Number one or
no, this
two?
Is number one.
Oh, okay.
We don't have number two yet.
No.
Who does number two work for? We don't have that yet.
Nope.
Right. It's Redline Rivalry. Broadcasting live next Tuesday, June 18th, from John Barleycorn, 3524 North Clark Street. We'll be there from 3 to 6:30, sponsored by Architect of Chicagoland. Find us on the restaurant's first floor with the WGN-TV crew, where you can take pre-baseball game photos. What's the WGN-TV crew doing there? This is going to be like Anchorman.
Is Joe going to be there?
Is Joe Donlin, your friend, your BFF, going to be there?
Well, if he's there, it's okay. Is it Joe and Micah?
They're trying to steal our thunder.
It's going to be Ben and Lourdes.
You need details.
Well, we shared space with them at the White Sox convention.
No
right?
big deal.
Everything went fairly well, from what I remember. We got to see Joe. That was my favorite part.
Are you going to do like Joe Biden does and make a friendship bracelet for him?
No, he smells his hair. He did smell his hair. I thought that was weird.
He's got great hair. It's kind of hard.
What product do you use?
You smell great, Joe. Heavy breathing in his ear.
do you mind if I nuzzle your neck for just a minute because it's so muscly? I love your traps. How do you work on your traps? Do you have neck lifts?
How long before a restraining order?
I wonder. You know, he's pretends not to be freaked out by you guys.
He's not doing a particularly good job of pretending not to be freaked out. I would like to point that out to the peoples. For details, go to WGNradio.com/events. That's the first most important thing.
The Red Line Rivalry.
And then coming up in just a couple of seconds here, you got a chance to win a pair of lawn tickets to Ravinia on July 12th to see Oscar-winning film West Side Story, with the score performed by the live Chicago Symphony Orchestra.
Nice.
Or as it says here, orchestra. They left the A off for savings.
It's like all those websites, they just drop the vowels, you know.
Here's what I'm going to do, though.
Notice this?
Let's just do it right now. Caller number 19, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You get a pair of the lawn tickets to Ravinia, the Oscar-winning film West Side Story, score performed by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra.
Good luck.
Tickets at Ravinia.org. Ravinia.org. But that.
Very cool.
What's the other one you can't talk about? I don't even know about the other one.
Yep, you don't.
Oh, well, you know what?
It's huge,
you know,
by the way.
Our post-show meeting that we have.
Will there be bourbon?
There always is.
Okay, I'll be there.
The post-show meeting has, I'll give you the details. It's pretty wild.
It is.
Wow.
It's pretty wild. It's what we're
big, and it's big for listeners, too.
Yeah. It's really big for the listeners. Mm-hmm. It's gigantic for us, but it's big for the listeners.
I don't really. Oh, my God. We can barely contain ourselves.
Minutes.
Oh, yeah. Everyone else, you'll be happy, too.
Can't announce it yet, because I don't think it's official.
Nope.
I mean, it's official-ish, but it's not.
It's kind of on that
line. So you got to kind of wait. Actually, there's something that's really interesting. There's something that that you two are doing as well.
Mm-hmm. That you don't know about.
That you don't know
about.
What
do you know?
The two of yous.
Who's you, the two of
you?
You, Lauren,
and Lauren.
Anna?
Mm-hmm. No, you nope. and Lauren.
You Lauren.
Kevin, and Lauren. They're splitting up they're splitting up the kids and the adults here is what they're doing for these two things. It's pretty great, though.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Pretty huge.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm kind of a little jealous of all of this. And we'll tell you about it tomorrow, maybe. I don't know. I got to wait.
You got to wait for the release.
What goes on here? It's so funny. You know, they call and they say, hey, mm-hmm. here's what we're going to do.
Yeah, and then you don't hear about it for a while.
And then what they do is they have to call a lawyer.
Mm-hmm. They have to call the lawyer team, and then they have to name it, like Red Line Rivalry or Pucks in Prague. They have to come up with something.
Yeah.
And then they put together the release, and they legalize it, and then they give it to you.
Right. And then there's a thousand different ways. And then it becomes a convoluted contest where you have to be this caller at this particular time. And then mm-hmm. then you have to call your cousin. Mm-hmm. And your cousin has to be that caller at that particular time.
Right.
Has to be a first cousin. Can't be a second cousin. Had to be able to prove the cousin. What we need, birth certificates, and we need Match.com. What is the 23andMe to be able to actually put you all together?
Authenticate the whole thing. Then you got to call Cochran. Then he's going to call you, and then they call you at the alternating Wednesdays.
Doesn't sound complicated at all.
No, that's how they do, and that's the lawyers who do it. The lawyers are like, all right, here's what we got to do to make sure that it's as hard as possible for anybody to win. First, Cochran will say one word. Then, the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis will say another word. Uh-huh. 8 hours later.
Right.
16 hours after that, the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis will say a third word. And then the fourth word on Cochran. It will be a four-word sentence. You must then be the 1,000th caller.
Uh-huh. And then fax it a confirmation.
Right. And we do need blood typing to make sure that you are a United States citizen, because that is the way it's going right. to be.
And that's just an entry.
Right. That's right.
Then
that's,
you'll qualify.
Then now that makes you that's a qualifier.
Qualification number one of 50.
Don't worry. The rules are all coming out. We'll figure it out.
And then from all 50 qualifiers.
You have to meet here at the radio
station. You can get 50 people to qualify.
We will do a 65-mile scavenger hunt. And the winner of that scavenger hunt will win a pair of lawn tickets to Ravinia to see West Side Story.
Actually, it's really big, so you're going to want to qualify and it's jump through whatever hoops necessary.
Oh my God!
As hard as that may be,
that's all you got to do.
I think sometimes the way it's just written and then the way it's read is like a game of telephone, and it's really not all that hard, but it just becomes hard.
Yeah.
Because of the process.
Yes. Because we let the lawyers write the rules.
Yes, they write it.
We got to stop that.
That's got to end.
Got to stop that completely.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Classic radio contest.
Yes, I know it is a classic radio contest. It is exactly a classic radio contest, and that's the problem.
Is Don on the phone?
This is not how it should be run. Don knows that.
Well, you know what? All right, let's play the whole one here. Let's play the full Casey Kasem, because this almost happened to me earlier today. Because I did sort of lose my mind about this, I had almost a Casey Kasem moment earlier. So just
here
so,
on the show or
yeah.
earlier before you?
No. Here on the show when I looked down and we have all of these really cool things that we're supposed to be giving away, and there was no scripting for any of it because I got to read the script because the lawyers do it. And if I read it the wrong way, then they're like, "Booby darling, sweetheart, you owe my agent will call me and go, "Booby darling, sweetheart, you now owe $50,000 to the radio station."
It's like, what?
For what? Don't worry. I still get my cut.
We're up to our long distance dedication. And this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio. And here's what he writes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's go start again. From coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions, and then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a f***ing up-tempo record every time I do a damn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. Because the last f***ing time, I want somebody to use his f***ing brain to not come out of a f***ing record
that is that's up tempo, and I got to talk about a dog dying.
Oh my god! He was the inventor of first world problems, Casey Kasem.
Get down on the phone. Oh my god!
But no, you loved him.
No wonder.
I loved him.
No wonder they were kidnapping his body and running it all over Southern California.
Yeah, that weird family thing that happened. Yeah. After he died.
Is that the end of that? Is that, was it?
That's all there was?
It's just, that was
like
it? Just
quite the rant.
Get Don on the phone? All right.
Yeah.
See, now that's, and that happened to me earlier.
So you needed to get your version.
I'm going
to
have my family is also going to be stealing my body, moving it back and forth. Actually, they're going to be stealing it from each other as a punk and then dropping it in other people's houses.
Oh, gee.
Hey, check your front door. Do it.
Right.
Guess who I got for you?
Chicago radio, dead Chicago radio legend, Rokan. Right there.
Check for a package around 4 today. Gotcha.
At 4:20.
Oh, gotcha, dude.
At 7:20 in the morning, go to your front door. Oh, God. All right. All right, we're done. We're done making fun of radio. We're done making fun of radio promotions and of Casey Kasem.
And of radio legends.
We are biting the hands that feed us.
Mm-hmm. Should not be doing that.
Significantly.
Yeah. When they're really feeding us, too. So.
And leaving scarring is what we are doing.
So we'll stop.
All right. Let's check in with Don Kleppen. He would never do something like this. Don, what's coming up in the news at the top of the hour?